afternoon, everyone. I know you don't normally see me up here.
I'm usually in the back over there, isolated in my little box back there.
But I want to thank Brother Chiron for the opportunity to speak to you this morning, this afternoon. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks. We want to praise you for being our Heavenly Father, for loving us, for caring for us, for just being who you are. We ask right now that as we enter into this time of listening and learning, that you will cover us all so that the message will be clear and it will be concise to your name's honor and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So this was not my doing. This is the Holy Spirit. So I would like to say, if anything hits you, if anything resonates with you, we have our dear cousin who is a spiritual guide for us, and she would always say to us when she's about to tell us something that we may not want to hear, she said, "Don't take it up with me, take it up with your daddy." So I'll tell you the same thing she tells us. If something resonates with you, if something hits you, take it up with your daddy. Don't. It's not me. Because the title of the message, as you can see, it's not about you. Say it with me, everybody. It's not about you. Make it personal. Point to yourself. It's not about me. All right. Let's see what direction. Okay. All right. Our scripture reading today is Mark 16, 14 to 16. If we could read it together, after 2:1-2. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." So I'm a church kid, which means I grew up in the church, which means all the little kids you see in the church, I was one of those, right? So all I knew was church. Right, and I would hear this verse. I would hear this verse every single time, and I would say, "You know what? This verse doesn't apply to me, because it says go and preach. I'm not a pastor, so I don't preach." But as you know, you get older, you started to realize that this has to apply to everyone, because I start to question. You start to question it. You start to say, "Okay. Are there enough pastors in the world to preach to everybody?" Question is no. And then I noticed, as I started to dwell deeper into it, I started to see that Jesus wasn't talking to pastors, was he? He wasn't talking to pastors. He was talking to his disciples. And then it caused me to think. Then when we read... the account in Matthew, it says it a little differently. It says, "Go and make disciples." So then, it causes me to think again. Is this what we all as Christians should be doing right now? Then, doubt starts to creep in. I'm not a theologian. I don't know enough. Do I know of no scripture to make a disciple? And as I was putting this together, the Lord kept telling me, "It's not about you." I'm like, "Okay, what does that mean?" So then I was led to I was led to the military and boot camp. And I was like, okay, what does that have to do with anything? So, which way am I going? I'm going backwards, sorry. Boot camp. Boot camp, if you know read what boot camp is intended to do, boot camp or basic training is an intense structured program designed to transfer civilians into disciplined military personnel. Listen to this part: by breaking down old habits and instilling core values, physical fitness and mental resilience. It prepares recruits for military life through rigorous training, fostering obedience, teamwork, and readiness to serve. When I read that, I started to now start to put the pieces together. And I said, and the question came up, why does God want us to become disciples and go out and make disciples? I took three takeaways from that whole boot camp experience. Not that I did boot camp, but just from the definition. The first takeaway is God wants to prepare you for a life of purpose and meaning if you're willing to give up your own aspirations and allow God to use you. There's about 147 to 150,000 people that enlist in the military every year. 47% of those recruits join the military because of a sense of patriotism or duty. In other words, people are looking or seeking purpose beyond themselves. Now, I want to read a couple of examples in the Bible that talks about purpose. The first one is Abram or Abraham, and in Genesis 12, 1-5, we see Abram taking up the mantle or answering the call that God had for him. I'll read it here. Now, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him that curses you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions, and they gathered, and the people whom they had acquired from Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So as you can hear right there, he answered the call. He went right away. We also see in Noah answered the call as well. We see in Genesis 16, 13, 14, and 22, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, and make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now, the next example here is Moses. And Moses I relate to Moses more than the other two. Because Abraham and Noah, they just did it. They're like, Lord, all right, I'll go out there and make that ark that nobody ever seen before. Or I'll go and go to another land because you already told me I'm going to be a great man, a great, right? He laid out the whole thing. Moses, on the other hand, he had questions. In Exodus 3, God called Moses from the burning bush to go to Egypt to rescue Israel, and Moses started to make it about him. Verse 11, he goes, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm nobody. God had to reassure him, I got you. Just go do it. He goes, then verse 13, he goes, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your father sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? As if they didn't know his name already. Right? God's like, okay, just tell them I am. They already know I am. Just go do it. Then Moses was like, okay. In chapter 4, verse 1, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So in other words, he's like, okay, what if I tell them I'm here to save you? And they're like, we don't believe you. Right? Again, he reassures them again, stop making it about you and just go do it. Verse 10, he keeps going. Then Moses says to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I'm not a good speaker. Why are you sending me? Then in verse 13, he comes again. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So send somebody else. Send somebody else. God actually had to get mad at brother. It's like, look, stop making it about you and just go do it. So he ended up doing it. And as you guys read in the story, he actually delivers the people from Israel from Egypt. The next takeaway that I took away from that boot camp experience is God wants you to depend on him instead of leaning on your own understanding or efforts. Obedience to him signifies your trust and faith in him to know what's best for your life. God gives us guidance in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Right, so all we have to do is trust in him. He also and David wrote in Psalms 121, 1 and 2, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. So the question is, who better a person to put your trust in? The person who created you. The person who knows what's best for you, because he knows what you're good at, he knows what you're not good at. And he gives you everything that you need to do and to know to do what he's calling you to do. Now the third takeaway that I took away from that boot camp is, when you make life about you and not in service of others, you put lives at stake. Now I'm gonna tell you now, this part's gonna be a little hard. Where's my pitch? Okay. So soldiers sacrificed their lives to protect national security, freedom, and their comrades, often making the ultimate sacrifice in combat. These acts are driven by a sense of duty, courage, and loyalty, resulting in profound loss, honored on days like Memorial Day. Their sacrifices profoundly impact history and the lives of others. Now, if you don't know these individuals here, the family on the left, former Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, shot and killed his wife, and then himself, all in front of his 16 and 14-year-old children. And just this past week, we had that gentleman who had all 7 kids, shot all of them. Actually shot 8 kids and wounded 2 other people, including his wife. Mass shootings are on an all-time high. We are already at 144 mass shootings since the year started. According to a 2020 new international report on healthcare from the Commonwealth Fund, U.S. suicide rates are highest among wealthy nations. The U.S. suicide rate is the highest among wealthy nations. And if you also didn't know that there's a high rate of suicides among millionaires. So the question is why? And the answer is people have no hope and they feel no way out. We as Christians, disciples, have a message of hope that they're looking for. Pun intended. All right. What you see here are airplanes. The one on the left used to be my favorite until they started charging for luggage. But no, that's besides the point. But for everyone who's been on an airplane, they tell you put your oxygen mask on first before you help others. When you don't live a life of service, what you're actually saying is, I'm going to put my oxygen mask on, but I don't care about anybody else's oxygen mask. Like Noah, God could be calling you to save your own family. What family members do you know that have not given their life to Christ that you know you could have an impact by just being there, talking to them, sharing the love of Christ with them? The whole story of Esther, if we read Esther, Esther 4:13 through 17, in the New Living Translation, Mordecai sends a reply to Esther saying, and if you don't know the story, Esther is a Jew, and she becomes queen, right? But she becomes queen for a specific reason that she didn't know she was becoming a queen for. And it was to save her people, the Jewish nation. But Mordecai gives a poignant message here. He says, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just a time as this. And in 15, then Esther send the reply back to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Sus, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days and night, day or night or day. My maids will and I will go and do the same. And then through it, though it is against the law, I will go and see the king. If I must die, I must die. What she's saying there is that I'm going to take it up. I'm going to take up that mantle because I know what's at stake. If we look at the story of Jonah, Jonah initially made it about himself. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, right? The people of Nineveh could have been destroyed, but God in his infinite wisdom and love showed Jonah mercy and helped him fulfill his purpose. Now, as we talk about making disciples, how do we go about doing that? First, active making, not just teaching. Disciples are not born. They are made through nurturing, mentorship, and teaching. It involves guiding believers towards maturity and imitation of Christ. What is it saying there? If we look at Paul, when he was ministering to the Thessalonians, he explains the approach he used to help them understand the gospel in action. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8 says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." What is he saying there? He's saying it's not just about sharing the Bible, sharing scripture, sharing your doctrines with God of God with others. It's sharing your own experiences. We were talking about that in Sabbath school this morning. It's about how do you live your life? How are you showing up in your spaces in life? And it's not just about beating people over the head with the scriptures or announcing to everybody that you don't eat pork or all that good stuff. It's how do you live your life? The other way that we go and make disciples, as you are going, it signifies a continuous action. Discipleship is a lifestyle. As a lifestyle, is a daily continuous process of imitating Jesus Christ in character and action, characterized by self-denial, obedience, and producing spiritual fruit. How do you show up at your job, at school, in your community? Are you displaying Christ as a lifestyle or only when you come to church? Mark 4, verse 19 says, "And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So if we are actually living our life and we are actually following Christ, it is ultimately for us to now go and make other disciples as well. The third way here is making converts versus making disciples. This command focuses on creating devoted followers, disciples, who resembles Christ and not just people who agree with teaching or doctrines. Do you have religion or do you have a relationship? Jesus was asked by Philip, one of his disciples, in John 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "How have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip?" So what is he saying there? He's saying, you've been with me this long, and you didn't figure it out yet. He goes on to say, "He who have seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So does your life resemble Christ to others? Is what's being said here. So if your neighbors had to be interviewed about you being a neighbor, what would they say? If your coworkers had to have a conversation to others about who you are, what would they have to say? Now, as I close, as I was putting this message together, I was sharing a little bit of it with my senior marketing director and mentor and business partner of mine. And he was a military drill instructor in the Marines for over 20 years. And I was going through some of the data here, and I asked him, I was doing research, and I noticed that I asked the question before. I said, what is the percentages of new recruits that don't make it through boot camp? And it was about 7 to 15% that don't make it through. And the question I asked him was, what, from your experience as a drill instructor, why do they not make it through? Why does that percentage not make it through? And that's besides the medical complications, because there's some that don't make it due to medical issues. But besides the medical issues, why do people not make it through? And he said three things that really shocked me. The first one he said, first reason he gave was, there's an unwillingness to conform. Are we willing to give our lives truly to Christ? Unwillingness to conform. The second reason he mentioned was, those new recruits question their own abilities. Because they made it about them, they understood they couldn't do it, right? When we make it about us, we already know that we can't do it, because we're full of sin and shaping iniquity, right? So they question their own abilities. And the last thing, the last reason that he gave was, there was a lack of self-sacrifice. They made it about themselves, and it wasn't in service of others. So that caused me to think about those examples in the Bible of those individuals that made it about themselves, and they lost out on their purpose. I think about the rich young ruler who thought his riches was more important than following Jesus. I think of King Saul, who let his status and power turn him away from God. So as I finish here, even though I said it's not about you, it actually is about you. Because God has chosen each and every one of us to learn, grow, and share for the kingdom. So let's do as Mark says, and let's go make disciples, because this world needs us to do so. All right? Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks. We want to praise you. And we want to give our lives completely to you, because we know that lives are at stake. Our families' lives, our community's lives. And we just want to honor you by surrendering our lives to you, so that you can use us how you would see fit for us to be used. Help us not to make it about ourselves, but to help understand that we have a job and a mission that you have each and every one of us to do. So as we go throughout our week, we go throughout our lives, dear Lord, give us your mercy, give us your grace, and give us that opportunity for us to serve others so that your kingdom and your name can be glorified. We just thank you, we praise you, and we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.